Now, with respect to the delights of Ally McBeal of a few years ago, it's delightful to actually see that another series is coming to the fore, courtesy of David A. Kelly, with, of course, the fabulous Harry's Law, which actually launches featuring Kathy Bates. It's a crime drama. It focuses on a comedy crime drama and focuses very much on a bored patent lawyer who gets fired and turns to criminal law with a motley crew of cohorts. Now, to follow this through on this side of the pond, we're delighted to be able to actually speak to premier criminal analyst Mark Williams Thomas to talk about some of the UK's most ludicrous laws. Mark, are you in fact there?
Good morning.
Excellent. Delighted to hear your dulcet tones, which is brilliant stuff from that point of view. Now, Mark, classic line in this particular, I've got to ask you, why did you decide to actually become a criminal analyst?
Well, I'm actually a criminologist, so the criminalist is an element of, and it's something slightly that people do. But my background's a police officer. You know, I was a practitioner for many, many years, and then I moved into the academic world. And what I do now is I apply the criminological point of view to the practical point of view. And by doing that, I can then look at it and say, well, actually, you know, this does make sense, or absolutely, or it's a load of rubbish.
Well, I mean, they do say times the law could be defined as the hindquarters of a certain sort of donkey-type animal, but I won't even go there. You've picked up 25 of the UK's most ludicrous laws. A couple that immediately sprung to mind, which I thought, this is interesting. Londoners are not allowed to keep a pigsty in the front of their homes.
Yeah, no, I mean, some of these are absolutely mad. You look at them and you think to yourself, you know, where on earth does somebody create or come up with some kind of piece of legislation that deals with that? And in essence, that is true. There's a certain piece of legislation that says that you're not allowed to keep a pig's or have a pigsty outside the front of your house. But it particularly relates to London, so you're not allowed to keep a pigsty and in a pigsty outside the front of your house in London.
Crucial. Presumably the back of the house might be a different option, but we'll look at that. Now, I was doing my usual thing about ticket saying, no, I'm clear on that. Then I actually came up to number 18 in this particular list of 25, and I thought, throughout the whole of England, it is illegal to eat mince pies on the 25th of December. I'm sorry, you're going to have to arrest me. I've done it. I have eaten a mince pie on the 25th of December.
Well, you and many more. Can you just imagine if the police decided, right, let's use this piece of legislation, let's go and arrest people. But let's explain where it came from. It came from Oliver Cromwell's era. Oliver Cromwell hated
Christmas. He banned Christmas, exactly.
Absolutely, he hated Christmas. And as a result of that, he decided that nobody was going to be allowed to celebrate Christmas. And one element of celebrating Christmas was to have mince pies on the 25th. So he banned it completely.
Astounding. I mean, again, just working through this in at 20, I'm not sure whether was there a hierarchical structure here. I mean, is it a case of we should count upwards to the top 10 from this particular thing, or is it just a case of these are 25 random routines that come out from this?
No, this is just a selection. I mean, there are many, many more ludicrous laws, and in fact, if we apply it to today, we look at these and we say, gosh, they're absolutely mad, some of them. Some of them are repealed, some still exist, some were never enacted in the first place, but they're still there. But actually, where would we be in 200 years' time? You imagine if we go forward 200 years, we look back on ourselves, and I bet some of the lawmakers in 200 years' time will look back at some of the legislation we have now and go, why on earth did they create a law for that?
Well, there is a suggestion, certainly, that puts forward the notion that we're becoming over-legalised in this whole field. Certainly, it's a cracking way of conceivably actually improving police arrest records, I would have thought, though. Number 11, ladies are not allowed to show their ankles in public in St. Peter's and Leicester. Obviously, you could create all sorts of riots from that perspective. And I did like the notion that it's still illegal for cabbies to carry rabid dogs or corpses. And by law, they must ask all passengers if they have smallpox or the plague. Never happened to me. I've travelled in a London cab many a time. I've never been asked by the cab driver, did I have smallpox or the plague?
No, I mean, looking at the first one, that ladies not showing their ankles, I mean, that's very much come from the Victorian era, where they wanted women to cover up. It was okay for them to reveal their arms and for their breasts, but actually it wasn't acceptable for them to show their ankles. That moved on around in the 1890s and early 1900s, when cycling became a real fashion, and of course, as a result of that, women would show their ankles. And taxis. Well, taxis are fantastic. There's some very, very strange legislation that sits around taxis with regards to carrying people, you know, indeed who have the plague. But there's a very interesting one with relation to buses, because in fact, a bus driver is not allowed to carry anyone who's got a notifiable disease. They are allowed, however, to be carried in a taxi, but the taxi driver must immediately notify the authorities and thoroughly disinfect the taxi.
Not that we wish to advocate any form of capital punishment in any way, shape or form with respect to, obviously, Siren 107.3 and beyond. But it is apparently still an executable offence to allow your pet to mate with a pet of the royal house without permission.
Yes, indeed. Well, thankfully, that hasn't happened for a very long time and certainly hasn't been reported. But look at some of the elements of treason. You know, treason still exists today. Thankfully, you know, the last time someone was committed for the act of treason was a very, very long time ago, in 1946, when William Joyce was executed. But indeed, treason relates to anything whereby you do an act intention against the monarchy. And in fact, the case of stamps, if you were to deface a stamp or a coin, in essence you could be prosecuted for treason. Of course, it's very, very rare, and the last time was 1946, but it still stands.
For any archers who might be thinking about, you know, executing various folk from the Celtic scenarios, it is apparently still legal to shoot a Scotsman with a bow and arrow on all days except Sundays in York. So good news there if you happen to go in for some archery work with respect to Scots people. I'm not advocating it. It's just a thought from that point of view. I mean, again, in the full richness of the time, I wouldn't want to try it, actually, because I suspect there might still be a way in which you would be sent down for that.
No, indeed. And in fact, in Hereford, you know, it's legal to shoot a Welshman with a crossbow, but only after midnight within the city walls. I mean, you know, both of those pieces of legislation, of course, in today's society, would be trumped by new pieces of legislation. And as a result, if you try to do that, you're going to get arrested. And certainly if the person dies, you're going to go to prison for manslaughter or murder.
For our HMRC people and Revenue and Customs folk, I mean, I know they'd have a wonderful sort of input to the notion that it is illegal not to tell the taxman anything you do not want him to know, but legal not to tell him information you do not mind him knowing. Seems a little bit of a circumlocutious phrase, almost a tautology, one might say there, Mark.
Absolutely. I mean, it's really come from a simplification of the tax avoidance scheme. Whenever a piece of legislation is created like that, of course, people look at it and go, well, actually, you can do this or you can do that. I'm not sure necessarily that there's any great benefit from doing that in order to keep that information confidential. But another very strange loophole and a case that still exists.
Well, I'm coming to grips with the tragic realisation that my holiday plans for the Michaelmas period and the Christmas time, which included going down into London in a suit of armour, going into the Houses of Parliament and wrestling an untrained bull in public, it's not going to happen now. I can see that. I mean, it was all lined up for me to do that. I thought we'd get away with the whole thing, but no, it's not an option, really. What's your own personal favourite, Mark, in terms of this whole selection here? I mean, we've shared a number of the sort of key things there. I haven't even mentioned the illegality of ladies eating chocolates on a public conveyance, which could be, again, interesting in terms of enforcing. But you know, it was the one which you basically thought, this is unbelievable.
Well, I think many of them, I actually think, are completely bizarre. But I think the strangest thing about the whole of this is when we put them together. You know, in the 1800s, there were 200 crimes to which were punishable by death. One of those being damaging Westminster Bridge. And indeed, if you impersonated a Chelsea prisoner, you could be tried and you could be punished by death. And indeed, moving on from that, death was something that was applied not just to adults, but to children. And in 1814, as many as 5 children were executed in one day, those children, the youngest being 8 and the oldest being 14. So if we look where we are today, we've moved on an incredible long way.
Although I suppose there is a suggestion that it might keep the population down. I mean, we're heading to 7 billion in the planet. Maybe if we reintroduce these, it could be a whole routine. Only kidding. That's not a serious suggestion. Let us move on to Harry's Law. As we mentioned, created by David E. Kelly. He created Ally McBeal, obviously Dancing Babies and the whole shebang from that. Boston Legal with William Shatner and others. Have you managed to see the series yourself?
I've seen one of the programmes, and I think it's a fascinating. I mean, I think the crime genre, the public love, and they love it because they can relate to it, but they also find it fascinating. You know, so many people have that idea of being the Miss Marple, the person sat at home, the Inspector Morse trying to solve the riddles, solve the case. But what Harry's Law does, it does it in a slightly different way because, of course, it adds humour to it. There are the undertones of the adult humour that sits through Inspector Morse, but what Harry's Law does is it brings it very upfront in a modernistic way, in a way that the public can relate to, because both on a serious level, of course, it's dealing with elements of crime, it's also dealing with the day-to-day strange happenings that go on, and of course the actors themselves bring the story to life. A fascinating import, really, from across the seas.
So do you think, Mark, that we should actually start the campaign now to get Kathy Bates, as indeed Harriet Corn, and the rest of the crew to actually film some special episodes of Harry's Law in Britain?
Well, that would be fantastic, wouldn't it? And I think it would certainly, the public would love to see that. And maybe it happen.
Well, you know, the idea starts here. The series kicks off, of course, on the 10th of October, Universal Channel, and you can access all manner of wonderful things from that point of view. It's part of the Universal Channel's crime season. We frequently talk with crime analysts, criminologists, legal people, etc. Is it a busman's holiday when you get a chance to actually see some of these series? I mean, we just had the remake of Hawaii Five-O that actually came through the system, etc. So, you know, is it something where you think, yes, that's fine, or is it just a case of no? Oh, that's just totally ludicrous.
Well, I mean, I come from the point of view of being a crime advisor for most of the police dramas on telly. You know, for 6 years I did Waking the Dead. I've advised on Wire in the Blood, Inspector Linley's Mysteries. You know, most of the modern day crime dramas on UK television I've advised. And what I like to do when I advise on those programmes is put some realistic element to it, but also push the boundaries of policing. Policing today has moved into an element whereby, as long as it's legal, you can push the boundaries and try different methods, because, of course, the only way you're going to catch the offender is very often to push them at their own game.
So no chance of Dixon of Dock Green standing and introducing a programme with Evening All, unless they do a retro version, presumably. Just a different line.
Yeah, I think things have moved on a little bit since
just
then.
Just a touch. Mark Williams-Thomas, premier criminologist and criminal analyst, divining some of the ludicrous laws in the country. Fantastic touchy base with yourself. Two final questions for you, Mark. First of all, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic chat with us on the Midweek Drive today?
It's been very interesting.
And the next crucial question is, can we hopefully prevail upon you to join us, who knows, in the not-too-distant future, and again keep us appraised of all the fascinating worlds that happens to be dealing with the law of, or the world of law and order?
I'd love to come back and talk to you again.